Hello, everybody. We are so excited to be with you tonight. We've had a lot of good things going on today and over the last month, and Kim's got just an awesome teaching tonight on alignment, and then I'm going to throw some things in there about prayer watches, and we've just been excited today sharing about the Lord, and we just cannot wait to bring you what the Lord has given us. So I'm not going to take any more of Kim's time, and I'm going to say, Kim, take it away.
Thank you, Kalita. We sure have had some wonderful things happen lately, and I'm excited about what God is doing, and I'm excited about the revelation that he's giving us. And like Kalita said, we have an extra treat for you tonight. I wanted to talk to you about aligning with God's timing in order to align with his blessings. And then Kalita's going to talk to you about the timing of watches, prayer watches, which is another thing that we can align with and see the blessing of God and see prayers begin to be answered that you have been praying for years. That is my prayer for everybody. I was sitting here thinking as I was going over my notes a few minutes ago, and that is my hope and my desire for every single one of our partners, that they will walk in the fullness of the blessings of God. And I just pray that God continues to give us insight and revelation that we can share with you so that we're all walking in the fullness of what God has for us. I want to see every single one of our partners blessed beyond their imagination. And I completely, 1,000%, believe that is possible for every one of our partners. And we are not going to stop praying, and we're not going to stop teaching until we see all of you that want to walk in the fullness of the blessings of God. So let's get started with our teaching for tonight. Like Kalita said, it's called Aligning with God's Timing and Blessings, and you don't have to be concerned if you miss a sentence or two. I'll try my best to stay slow speaking, but we will be sending out the notes tomorrow, so you'll have those, both mine and Kalita's. So as most of us know, in Ecclesiastes, the Bible tells us that to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. Now, I, just like you, have always been taught that God is not in time, and that's the truth. He is not. But we are in time. And in the Bible, from the beginning to the end, if you'll study it out, you will find that God has set specific times for every purpose under the heaven, just like the Bible says. And you will also find that it is entirely possible to pray diligently, to know the Word of God, and to still miss the timing of the Lord. We've got to be able to not only pray, but to discern the times and the seasons in which God moves. It's very important to move with the timing of God. In Matthew 16, 1 through 3, Jesus said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he said, "When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather, for the sky is red and threatening." And then Jesus called them hypocrites. He said, "You know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times." We have got to be able, in this day we're living in, to discern the signs of the times if we're going to move into the timing of God and receive all the blessings that come through being aligned with the timing of God. Psalms 102:13 says, "You will arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, the set time, has come." So you see, we see here again that God sets specific times for things to happen. And if you don't understand that, and if you don't align yourself with the timing of God, you could miss your set time of favor. And none of us want to do that. Now, it's true that some of God's plans happen at an appointed time, just like we're talking about times God has appointed, while others require a fullness or a maturing in time. But even so, God is looking for those that will partner with him and his timing. it's the prophetic aspect that allows us to understand times and seasons. Knowing that, we need to every day pray and seek God for his timing and come into agreement and alignment with his timing so that we're not pulling or working against God, but we're moving with him. If we're moving with him in his timing, we will be moving with his blessings as well. And God wants us on the cutting edge and of everything that he's doing. I don't know about you, but I want to be right in the middle of whatever God is doing. And to do that, I've got to align myself with his timing. Again, prayer is very important. When we pray in alignment with his will and with his timing, we can expect to see God move. Now, I don't know how you feel about this, and I don't believe that it is a legalistic thing that you have to observe times and seasons, but I just want to share with you tonight the changes that have taken place in my life and in the lives of other people around me as they've began to observe and honor God's appointed seasons and times. And it never ceases to amaze me. I have one friend in Tulsa that God has been dealing with her about the same things. We never talk. We talk maybe once a month, and we hadn't talked in years before we started talking again and communicating more. But God has been dealing with her about the same exact things. So I don't believe it's just me or just Cleta and I or just Cleta and Carol and I. I believe God is dealing with a lot of people about this importance of getting in alignment with his timing. Now, God has appointed seasons. You can study this in the Word of God and find out that God has appointed seasons that were appointed long before you and I ever came along. And those are appointment times with God. It's the same as if you made a doctor's appointment or an appointment with your banker to go and withdraw funds. If you didn't show up for that appointment, you would not be withdrawing those funds. It's the same with God. We have got to show up at his appointed times, and we've got to observe and honor those times so that we can align with his timing. When we learn to think like God thinks, our lives will begin to prosper and his blessings will begin to flow. Like I shared just a little bit last month, I have seen the evidence of that in my own life. But to do that, we have to, again, align with his timing. We cannot expect him to align with ours. We have to align with his. He's the one that's in perfect order, and we need to follow his alignment. Now, let's talk a moment about our calendars. I mean, the calendar that we use, that I've used my entire life, is called the Gregorian calendar, and it's based on motions of sun throughout the heavens. It's also called a solar calendar. The Jewish calendar is different. It's based on the motion of both sun and moon. It's called the lunar solar calendar. Since it's based on the moon, every first of the month coincides with the full moon. And if you read the Bible, you'll see throughout there that God talks about different things happening at a full moon. So what makes the difference in the calendars we use, or why would I prefer to use a Hebrew calendar? Now, of course, in this world I live in, I have to use the Gregorian calendar for bank purposes and things like that. But in my spiritual walk, I have purposely aligned myself with what I feel to be God's calendar, the Jewish calendar, what was set in motion in the Word of God that I read and live by. So what makes it different? Well, you see, the Lord already planned our lives before we were born. He knew our days. He received us when we were yet out of time, before we were even born, and before we were born again, and he set us into time here on earth. Ephesians 1 and Romans 8 both tell us that God knew us before the foundation of the earth. He planned our lives out even then. Therefore, if we don't align with his timing, what he has planned for us at different places in our lives, we may very well miss because we'll not arrive at the right time. Now, Constantine promised the Jews that if they would agree to abide by the Gregorian calendar, there would be no more persecution, and they would be allowed to worship freely. But their price was to adapt to the pagan calendar. And they were weary, and they were tired of the persecution, and they were tired of not being able to worship freely, so they agreed. They agreed to go by a different calendar, a pagan calendar, instead of what God had set in motion. They compromised the very timing of God. And something Kalita shared with me one day this week, she said, in the garden, Satan stole the word from man. But with this, the calendar, he stole the timing from man. And see, we can get that back, and God can restore, but we have to get back in line with God's timing. Now, God has three cycles of blessings that he talks about in the Bible. Aligning with these cycles of blessing will bring us into new levels in God and new levels in his blessings and his promises. I shared a little bit with you last month about first fruits and how God had had me start doing my first fruits different. But as I've been studying this and meditating on how it worked, the first thing that I did was I began to observe True Sabbath, and I'll share a little bit more about that with you shortly. And the second thing I did was begin to observe the months. And then as I did those things, God began to open up things to me in the Word about getting in line with his timing, and then he led me into doing my tithing and my first fruits at the beginning of the Jewish calendar. And since I have done those things, I've seen many things change in my life. My prayer life is stronger. Finances have been easier. Giving has been easier. But even more so than that, his presence has been stronger. It's gone to a new level in my life. And the revelation that God has given me has just been an amazing, wonderful product of aligning with his timing. It seems like he's taking me into new revelation on a daily basis. So I'm understanding that aligning with his times and season is the starting point of blessings. Now, the cycle number one, I told you God has three cycles of blessings. Cycle number one would be the Sabbath. Genesis 2, 1 through 3 says, thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all the work which God had created and made. Leviticus 23:3 says, 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. The word Sabbath means rest. And the world we live in today, it seems like everyone is going 90 miles a minute, and very few people enter into rest. But rest has its very root in the creation of the world. Sabbath has its roots in the very creation of our world. God blessed that day and called it holy. All he's done for us, and that's what we're supposed to do on Sabbath. We're supposed to reflect on all that God has done. It's supposed to be a day of worship and a day of thanksgiving. Isaiah 66:22-23 says, for as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. You see, this is how God counts time. We count it this week, next week, the week after, but God counts it as one Sabbath to another. And that Sabbath is not legalism. It is not a dull routine or a social gathering. It is not putting in your time on Sunday. It is a day unto the Lord. And you have to spend that day, you need to spend that day in his presence, seeking his face, thinking on all the things he's done for you, worshiping and giving him thanks. It's not, as I said, legalistic. Mark 2:27 says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. God set this day aside that you could rest and renew yourself and get rejuvenated and ready for the next day, ready for the next week, ready for what goes ahead, and God gives you the rest you need on that day to get from one Sabbath to the next Sabbath. Now, as many of you probably already know, a true Sabbath begins on Friday at sundown until Saturday at sundown. And that was the first thing, I think it's been about a year ago now, that the Lord had me start doing. On Friday at sundown, I would just slow things down, and just, it's a time to enjoy what God has blessed you with, enjoy your family, but keep your mind focused on Him. So I got in the habit of taking my Fridays from sundown to Saturday to sundown to make sure I kept my mind on God and make sure that I observed and honored what He had set in place as my Sabbath rest. Now, that doesn't mean I don't believe in church on Sunday, because I do. That's how we celebrate God here. But also, just start on Friday at sundown. Just put a little note on your calendar and remember to thank God. And remember to keep your mind stayed up on Him during that time. And just talk to Him and tell Him that you honor Him and you honor the Sabbath. And that doesn't have anything to do with your Sundays, but honor God. The next cycle of blessings that He has put in place are the monthly cycle of blessings. Now, we've talked a little bit about that last month as well. These are marked by first fruits, and they begin with the new moon. It's clearly taught in the Bible. You can study it out for yourself. Although first fruit is clearly taught in the Bible, it is not recognized by many Christians. I personally did not really even understand first fruits until this past year, and I began to study it as I began to align myself with Sabbath, and then I began to study first fruits, and then I began to study the importance of giving my first fruits at a particular time. I began to understand, to align myself with the timing of these months and what they represent. It reminds me of the tree of life. I did a study on that one time and found that there's 12 fruits on the tree of life, and something is producing every single month, and that so reminds me of the months on God's calendar. There's the month of Nisan, the month of Iyar, the month of Sivan, and Tammuz, Av, Elul, Tishri, Cheshvan, Kislev, Tevet, Shavat, and Adar. These are the months of God. And you can find them on a Jewish calendar, or you can look them up online. But each month has something different about it. Each month is characterized by a different thing and means a different thing and lends itself to a different thing. So each month, if you lay hold of that particular fruit or that particular blessing, you're going to find that you're producing fruit every month of the year. So I would highly encourage you to study those months, study the Jewish calendar, and see what the symbolism is for each particular month. And we'll also be sending you out some information on that as well, if you're interested. The last cycle of blessings are the yearly cycle of blessings. In Exodus 23:14-16, the Bible says, three times you shall keep a feast to me in the year. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread and the feast of harvest, the first fruits of your labor which you have sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering at the end of the year when you have gathered in the fruit of your labors from the field. God's feasts are designed to create a rhythm in our lives. They're designed to get us in a flow of God. I don't know about you, blessings that pop up every now and then are awesome, but I want to get in a flow or a rhythm of the blessings of God, and I believe that's what's happening in my life and in the lives of some around me as we observe and honor the timing of the Lord. Now, the first yearly feast is Passover. It's celebrated in early spring, and it begins the biblical calendar, marking the month of God's redemption. It was instituted when God delivered the children of Israel from Egypt, and the theme of that celebration, the theme of that feast, is deliverance through the blood of the Lamb. And we have so much reason to celebrate and honor and observe, because we have all been greatly delivered through the blood of the Lamb. The next yearly feast is Pentecost or Shavuot. It is celebrated during May or June. It's the third month on God's calendar. It is a time to thank God for his provision. It celebrates God's blessings of harvest. That it was the time when the Torah was given on Mount Sinai. It was also when the Holy Spirit was poured out. I'm telling you, if you'll go through your Bible, you will see that God did things on certain times, on his appointed times. That's when he did things as well. Year after year, if you'll search your Bible out, you will find that to be true. The third feast is called Tabernacles. It is celebrated during the fall, September or October. It's held in the seventh month on the Jewish calendar. It's a time for spiritual transactions or transitions in our life. I have found in my own life, and I never studied these calendars or the timing of God, but if someone would have asked me, when do you see the most spiritual things happening in your life, I would have said May and September or October, because that's when the times I always, God broke through with something or he did something amazing in my life. And when I found out that those times coincided with feast, it really excited me, and I knew that was a truth in my own life. Now, again, these are not meant to be dead rituals or law or legalism, but there's something to look forward to each year and something to align us with God's timing and put his rhythm in our lives, causing us to align with his timing, which causes us to align with his blessings. I can understand being on a different timing a little bit, because when we published a magazine, when we would be doing a December issue, I would, for Christmas and for the holidays, I would be working on that in June and July. So I got very accustomed to, it really messed up my seasons, but I got very accustomed to working on the winter issues in the middle of summer. So that's what I had to do to be in the timing of that. I had to be on a whole different time. And I found as I did, everything worked smoothly. I have a friend that lives in Ohio, and she and I were talking the other night, and we were talking about the importance of aligning with the timing of God. And as we were talking, she realized that last year was the first time that she had observed and sown a seed on the three feasts that God calls his appointed times. And at the end of those three feasts, God blessed her with the finances to be able to do something that she wanted to do. And she didn't really put that blessing all together until we were talking on the phone. And that's kind of the way it's been with me. I've just obeyed God and aligned myself with his timing. And I've found out after the fact that as I did, the blessings come easier without toil or without walking the floors and praying all the time or fasting all the time. I have found that it really does get you into a flow of the timing and the blessings of God. I can't think about the timing of God without thinking about a message I once heard by Denise Renner. She was talking on the importance of not missing your time, and she used the scriptures where Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and two of the disciples were sitting outside, and Jesus said, "Pray with me. Stay awake and pray with me." He was at the most challenging time of his life, and he came out, and both disciples were asleep, and he said, "Stay awake and pray with me." And he went back into prayer again, and once again he came back out, and the disciples were sleeping. And Jesus, I think he did that three times, if I remember correctly, but when he came back out the last time, he said, "Sleep on." And as she brought it out in that message, it was sleep on, it's too late now. And see, that's how I believe it is with the timing of God. God so wants us in his timing and aligned with him so that we're flowing with him and we're not missing anything. But if we refuse to get in the timing of God, whatever that means for you, if we refuse to align ourselves with his timing, the time will come when he will say, sleep on. That time has passed. The Bible says there's a set time to favor you. Do you understand that means the time has already been set? We don't want to miss that time, so it is vitally important that you begin to seek God and pray and ask him to show you if there's any areas in your life where you're not aligned with his timing, or if there's any areas in your life where you can more precisely align with his timing so that you're aligned with his blessings. That's all I have to tell you guys tonight, and I'm going to turn it over to Kalita and let her talk to you about the importance of timing of the watches of prayer.
Okay, well, Kim, you set this up perfectly when you said sleep on, it's too late now, because I'm talking, I didn't know you were going to say that. I missed that in your notes.
No, I added that today.
Okay. Because there are 8 watches in a 24-hour period, but tonight I only have time to teach on 4 because there is so much packed in each 3-hour period. So there's going to be a lot of scripture. Don't even worry about it. I can't read it all. Matter of fact, I'm probably not going to read much at all. But we will give you the notes tomorrow so you can do a study on this yourself. But one of the scriptures I'm going to start out with is Psalm 119:148. And it says, my eyes anticipate the night watches, and I awake before the call of the watchman, that I may meditate on your word. T.G. Bismarck has some awesome teachings on prayer. And one of the things that she said that really caught me was, each one of us has to pass through the gate of time. If you don't take care of at least one watch, you are not going to gain time. You are not going to be able to take care of your destiny. And that really hit me because it reminded me of what Kim just spoke about when Jesus said, will you not tarry with me 1 hour? And my own pastor teaches how we ought to try and at least pray an hour a day because, you know, the Lord said, can you not pray with me 1 hour? And she said, you know, do we need to pray all 3 hours? No, but we need to find the hour in the watch that we're called to. Ask the Lord, which watch is yours? And it may change during seasons depending on what you're going through. But I like to pray in the evening. I like to pray late in the evening. And so that I have a feeling that's probably my watch. Whatever you feel drawn to is going to be what your watch is. But there are 4 watches. And in Matthew 16:16-19, it tells us that we must possess the gates of the enemy. And as Abraham's seed, the Bible says in Genesis 22:17 that we will possess the gates. One of the keys to possessing the gates is the knowledge of time. And it's just so perfect with what Kim was teaching, because if we're going to possess our gates, we have got to be aligned with the timing of the Lord. We must understand timing. Our times have gates. For example, the gate to the day, there's a gate to the day, there's a gate to the week, the month, the year. They all have gates. And whoever possesses these gates possesses and controls everything. The very first watch is the gate for the new day. And I find this interesting, too, and I was talking to Kim about this today. You know, in Genesis, the Lord said 3 times, and evening and morning was the first day, and evening and morning was the first day, and evening and morning was the first day. And then his calendar starts, you know, goes by the moon and the sun. And I asked the Lord, wonder why he did that. And Kim said, well, ask him. And I was like, okay. And I felt like the Lord said, it's because he created something out of nothing. It is a reminder that every morning when the sun rises, that light came out of darkness, because he is the light, and then we're to be the light. So the first watch, which the Lord starts the day in the evening, is from 6 to 9 p.m., which would be right where we are right now. And I thought this was really neat. You know, the world calls this prime time if you're on television. And they don't call it that for nothing. And the scriptures for the first watch are Lamentations 2:18 and 19, Exodus 27:21, Psalm 119:148, Genesis 1. And this watch is called Time to Silence the Enemy. And there are different things you can pray for during this watch. There are different things that take place in this watch. And so that's what I'm going to go over. So one of the things for the first watch is it's supposed to be a time of meditation, to have the word manifest on the inside of us. And if you think about it, during this time, what are we meditating on? Are we taking our TV shows and putting them through Philippians 4:8? Whatsoever things are good, noble, lovely, of a good report, think on these things. Because most television shows wouldn't even make it through that filter. They wouldn't even get there. But think about it this way. What do you want out of life? When has a secular TV show ever brought you deliverance or answered a prayer? And I'm not saying that I'm against television. I'm saying this is the watch. If you're going to pray during this watch, this is what we're to be doing. It's a time for divine judgments. If you need a divine judgment on your behalf, for deliverance, a time to pray for resurrection, time to pray for the economy, to drown the walls of darkness, to shake out the wicked. There's a scripture, I believe it's in Job, that talks about when the dawn comes, it shakes out the wicked. Structures from our economic systems, educational systems, religious and political systems. Time for covenant renewal. This was the watch during which Jesus broke bread with his covenant between God and Israel. It's time to appropriate the provisions in the blood covenant. Every covenant you have with God can be renewed at this time. It's the time to pray for humility and leadership. It was during this time of the evening when Jesus girded up his loins with a towel and washed the disciples' feet. It's a time when he displayed great humility, which is the secret of great strength. This is the time to pray to silence all the voices and curses of the enemies of our lives. This is the time. Now, this information here was taken from a testimony from a former witch, and she said this is the time when when she was a part of a coven, that they would go to the different points in the city and go to the gates of the city to try to plan out strategies against people and against cities, especially at sundown, to seize their day. But so this is our time. And if these kinds of things are going out, the cursing and the witchcraft and the nonsense that we don't always see with our natural eye, but we know evil's always out there, if they're going out and doing their thing, they're going unopposed unless a righteous remnant stands up and prays and does their job. Isaiah 17:14 says, at bedtime, terror fills the air. By morning, it's gone, not a sign of it anywhere. This is what happens to those who would ruin us. This is the fate of those out to get us. So as we stand for our cities and for our nation, we need to stand on the word of God, and we need to realize that when we pray during this time, that we have the authority. Now, we have authority 24 hours a day. That's true. But there are different times in the Bible where these things are mentioned. And when we align ourselves with what the word of God has already put into motion, that's when we have the most authority. We need to release and proclaim God's blessing, his will, into our atmosphere and our families and our lives. We, the body of Christ, we need to be the ones releasing words into the atmosphere. The enemy cannot be releasing these words unopposed. If he does, shame on us. Like what one minister said, never leave the devil's voice unanswered. We always answer, and we always answer with the word of God. So go to the gates of your city. Seize the gate of your day. And as we participate in what Kim was talking about with the first fruits in the beginning of the month, we're seizing the gates of the season. We're seizing the gates of the month according to what the Bible says. Now, the second watch. The second watch is from 9 p.m. to midnight. The first watch, I'm sorry, is from 6 to 9. Second watch is from 9 p.m. to midnight. And this is the time when we ask for divine and human favor. And the scriptures are Revelation 9:16, Acts 23:23, Exodus 3:21, 11:3 and 4, 12:35, 36, and Psalm 119:148 again. This is time to receive acts of change, a time for thanksgiving, for visitation, divine protection. In my studies, I read something that said this is a spiritual reason. There is a spiritual reason for The films, which are more evil and have more junk in them, are aired at this time because they prepare the atmosphere for the next watch, because the next watch that we talk about is the most, the darkest watch. And I thought, how organized is the enemy's kingdom that they even know to prepare the atmosphere before they do their deeds? And how much more should we be prepared? This is the time when the Lord prepares you to receive many acts of change in the earth. Midnight is symbolic of intense darkness, but God is the light in the darkness and releases strategy during this time to prepare us. If you need strategies on how to get out of something, if you have a situation in your life that you don't know what's going on, this would be a good time to pray and ask God to release divine strategies. This time was when the children of Israel received instructions, there's the strategy, to take the wealth of Egypt. So this would be a time to plunder our oppressors. This would be a good time to pray to receive strategies to get out of debt. Anything that's oppressing you, witty ideas and ways. Because when they went after the wealth of Egypt, it was after their supper, but it was before midnight. And they went, and they went to every door, and they got all the plunder and the spoils of Egypt. It was at this watch that Jesus and his disciples were praying. And he started at 9 and then prayed for an hour, came back and said that 3 times, could you not pray with me 1 hour, as Kim was just talking. The final time he came, it was at midnight, and that was when the betrayer came. Think about that. And there are all kinds of stories in the Bible at times when something took place at midnight, and I'll share a couple of these. But Jesus was preparing himself to be able to go through the betrayal, to be able to go through the crucifixion, to be able to go through the scourging and everything that he had to go through. That was his preparation time, was 9 to 12, the second watch of the night. It's also a time to pray for an outpouring of the Spirit, to pray for divine protection and strength, and to pray against temptations. You know, Jesus could have called the angels, but he didn't. He could have got out of that if he wanted to. He was the Son of God, but he didn't. And so when he was praying for strength and an outpouring of the Spirit to get through what he had to go through. This is also a time to pray for the provision. Again, it was during this watch and the one right before us where the Israelites were gathering the spoils of Egypt for their journey out of freedom. This watch is the watch just before the most intense darkness on the earth. And it's time to pray for divine favor. So this would be the time that we pray for divine and human favor. Now we move on to the third watch, and this is the most intense watch that there is. It's midnight to 3 a.m. It's the time for divine government, which is God's government, to overrule human decrees. Some scripture would be Isaiah 42:22, Psalm 68, Acts 16:25, 27, 25 through 44, Exodus 12:29, and 12:14. Chapters 12 and 14. Psalm 119:62 says, at midnight I will rise to give you thanks because of your righteous ordinances. And Acts 16:25, at midnight when Paul and Silas chose to pray and worship and they were set free. It was at midnight when Samson carried the gates of the city. And it was at midnight when the wicked were wiped out. At this time, it's time for prayers of protection and strength to overcome, for an outpouring of grace. Pray to overcome every limitation of gifts and anointing. Special time for divine governments for overruling human decrees. We've had a lot of evil decrees made in the land, regard to abortion, and maybe there's been unrighteous rulings in governments in your local towns and ordinances concerning transgenderism, concerning homosexuality, concerning things that are against God's nature. This would be the time to pray for those. It's a time to pray to give an angelic release because there is so much wickedness going on at this time. It's also a time of spiritual warfare. The Bible says in Acts that this is the time of deep sleep falling on men. This is the period of heightened demonic activity. If men are sleeping, there won't be many awake to oppose the enemy. Judges 19 talks of rape happening at this time, and then there was murders happening at this time. It's at this time to declare in Psalm 91, especially verses 5 and 6, that no evil shall befall me, the terror of night will not pass by me. This is the time when the destroying angel went through the camp. It's a dark time. It's the darkest time on the face of the earth, physically. So this is when the enemy likes to do his deeds. So this would be the time for the body to rise up. And I know it's uncomfortable. Who wants to get up at midnight and pray? But if the Lord puts that on your heart, then we need to do that. Sometimes you wake up in the middle of the night, and no one's saying you have to pray all 3 hours. Pray till you get a release. But sometimes when you wake up in the middle of the night, the Lord just nudged me the other night and said, when you wake up in the middle of the night, it's not always insomnia. Sometimes it's me. And if you know, if you can get the gist of each one of these watches, and I've been trying to do this, when I wake up, I'll think, oh, it's watch three. This is what I'm going to pray. Or it's watch two, and I'll come against the demonic and release angels to my family or to those around me and to the nation. So just try to keep your spirit and your mind on that so that when you do wake up, you can pray. So this is a time to rule in the midst of our enemies. The word is clear that there are many evil plans that are set to take place at this time, but our God is faithful, and our weapons are not carnal, and every time God's people arose in his might, the victory was theirs. This is the time for us to rule in their midst. Think about this. If you're trusting for a marriage partner, Ruth was redeemed at midnight. Also pray for the redemption of the body of Christ to come into the fullness of her true identity, for the bride to know who she is in the Lord. Do you need free from bondages and chains, or maybe your loved ones? Paul and Silas were set free at midnight by praising and worshiping the Lord. Do you need wisdom in the midst of foolish people? The wise and foolish virgins were separated at midnight. Do you need righteousness in your city and in our nation? Samson possessed the gates of the city at midnight. Do you need provision, even emergency provision? Persistence got the man provision for his family in Luke 11. It was at midnight that he knocked on the door. And the Bible says that right after the man got his provision, the Bible says, ask and keep on asking. Knock and keep on knocking. Seek and keep on seeking. Notice the Bible doesn't say, don't be going and bothering people at the middle of the night. No, the Lord says, the Bible says, ask, keep doing it. It's a time for dreams. Time to apply the blood of Jesus. Time to awake from sleep and to confront every storm and distraction and to speak peace and calm. In this watch is where the enemy does most of his nonsense. So this would be the time to rise up in the authority of your Lord, in the authority of the blood of Jesus, in the authority of the word of God, and begin to speak to the storms and begin to declare, because most people, most Christians sleep. Most people, they just sleep. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but the enemy knows that, and so that's when he tries to do the most of his stuff. It's also the best time to make your case in prayer. Also time for every emergency provision God makes to be released. Again, that's speaking of when the man needed the bread and went and knocked on the man's door. And that was Mark 13:35. That's the Luke 11:5-13, Acts 16:25-34, and Acts 27-12. Okay, so the fourth watch now. The fourth watch is from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. The Father's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and it's time for deliverance. The significance of this watch can be seen in Mark 1:35, where Jesus rose before day and went to a solitary place to pray. And a lot of people can do that. A lot of people do get up early in the morning. They'll get up an hour before they go to work, and they go and pray. There's lots of scriptures for this, and I'm not going to list them all because there's literally a bunch, but you'll get them in my notes tomorrow. But in this watch from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., and a lot of times I'll wake up at 4, even if you just wake up to go to the bathroom, it doesn't hurt to throw a prayer out there. But I will pray, and this is the time to release angelic activity or intervention, time for deliverance according to Exodus 12 and 14. This is the time when God releases the dew from heaven and when Israel was released from captivity. So that was awesome. And you think about it. When I think of the dew from heaven, I think of the mercies that are new every morning. He says every morning they're renewed. The time for the blessings from heaven above.
blessings of the deep that lies beneath, blessings of the womb, blessings of our fathers and ancestors. God has to bless his people. He has to bless his people. In Mark 1:35, Jesus rose before the day and found a solitary place to pray. This is the time to pray his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not just pray the Lord's Prayer, but make it personal. You know, when you say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in my life. Thy will be done, Lord, in my family's life. Thy will be done in my children's life. Thy will be done, Lord, in my church. And begin to bring people before you, before him, that that are in your life, and begin to declare and proclaim his will being done. Make it personal. Don't just flow through the Lord's Prayer like you're at a football game, but pray the Lord's Prayer. This is also, and this comes from that testimony I was telling you about of a witch that got born again and set free. She said, this is when the satanic agents are returning to their bases, going into hiding so they do not get caught. So this would be an excellent time to pray for an uncovering and a release of angels to go and expose, because the Bible says what is hidden in darkness will be brought to the light. So this would be an excellent time to release angels to go and to thwart the plans of the enemy, and to bring what they have, the deeds that have been done in darkness, to bring them before the right people, that they would be exposed in Jesus' name. This is also the time to release judgment on evil deeds, that every evil chariot's wheels would fall off and all the plans and programs of the wicked will fail. This is when we shake out the wicked, and that's in Job 38, 12, 13, and Isaiah 17, 14. It actually says that in the dawn that it will shake out the wicked. And like I said, this is when the Israelites were set free, and we know what happened when Pharaoh tried to follow them. He couldn't do it, and the chariot's wheels did fall off. So this would be the time to say, every evil deed that has went out, everything that's coming against me that you know of and even don't know of, that every plot plan of the enemy is thwarted, cast down, and will fail in Jesus' name. Release angels to go and to uncover the plans of the wicked, to bring them to naught. This would be that time to pray that. This is also the time of day that Jesus walked on the water to release the disciples from storms. You're going through a storm? That would be a good time to pray for that. This is a time to declare God's word, to set our day, our waking hours. Because remember, the Lord starts the day in the evening. But this would be the time to set our waking hours aright, Psalm 19:2, to set our day aright with him. It's also a time for resurrection power, for every potential and gift in the body to be released, that we would rise and shine according to Isaiah 60, Verses 1 through 5, the sun rises and shines, Psalm 18:28, and the time that the stone was rolled away. So this would be a time that we could pray for every reproach to be rolled away. And I think this is just fascinating. Until Kim and I had started talking about the times and the seasons and the timing of the Lord, I love how he just does line upon line, precept upon precept, because I didn't have a clue that there was watches and prayer. I knew you can get up and pray, but I never knew that there were specific times. And I think this is just awesome. So that's what I have for this evening. Like I said, we will get the prayer call out tomorrow, and I will get our notes out for tomorrow. And let me pray, and then I'll turn this back over to Kim. So Father, right now, we just thank you. God, you're such a faithful God. And Lord, I know that you have not hidden these things from us, but you've hidden them for us, Lord. Father, it is the king's honor to hide a thing, but it is to our honor to search it out, God. And we love searching out your word, because it's like a big old treasure chest. And as we dig, and we dig deep, Father God, we're just so thankful that you are faithful to reward us, Father God, and to bless us, Lord, and to show us exactly what we're looking for. Lord, we just purpose right now in our heart, God, to set our times and align our times with you. Father, we thank you for Kim and for her teaching and for putting this on her heart. We thank you for her living it and walking it out so that she can demonstrate it and teach it to us, God. Father, we thank you that you are bringing revelation to us, God. We thank you that you chose, in all of time, you chose to put us, the ones on this call tonight, you chose to put us in time now so that we could be here tonight sharing together in this word and in your and the fellowship with you. And Father, right now we ask you to make us mindful, and I pray over every partner tonight, God, those that are listening and those that will listen, God, that you'll begin to speak to us, Lord, and show them what their watch is. Call us to the watch of this season, and that you would begin to show us things and speak to us clearly about the watches and being rightly aligned, that we can rightly align ourselves, Father, so that we can march like a well-oiled machine. Father, we just give you praise. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your grace, Lord. And we give you praise, honor, and glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I want to pray for you guys, and then we'll close out this call. I thank you for listening. Father, we just thank you for this word tonight. God, we thank you that you desire that we get aligned with your timing even more so than we do. Father, I ask you to speak to each person on this call what you would have them do to align themselves with your timing. Father, reveal to them and to us any open portals in time, God, that we can pray into or speak into, God, and declare your word into. Help us, God, to do as Kalita was talking about and seize the gate of each individual person this season. Let us teach us, God, how to seize the gates of our enemies for the month, for the day, for the season. Lord, help us to prepare the atmosphere. Just like she talked about how the enemy prepares the atmosphere, God, help us to prepare the atmosphere and make it an atmosphere that is conducive for what you want to do in our lives. Teach us to prepare the atmosphere, Lord, by aligning with your timings, by aligning with your prayer watches, God, and calling forth the things that you would have us to walk in. Father, I thank you that in this season and in this year, you cause every single person on this call to possess the gates of their enemies. I thank you, God, that this is not just a teaching, but this is your revelation aligning us and putting us in order, God, to receive the blessings and the promises of God. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus over yes. every single one of our partners, from the yes. top of their head to the soles of their feet. I remind you that part of our covenant is that you'll take sickness and disease away from our midst. God, I declare and decree that sickness and disease has to leave their midst, yes. not only in their own bodies, but in their family members as well. God, I call forth finances into their hands in Jesus' name. I call their ministries blessed. I call yes. their business blessed. I call their checkbook blessed and their savings account blessed. Father, I'm asking you for a supernatural debt cancellation for every yes. single one of our partners this year. God, we are in a year of Jubilee, and I ask that you release the blessings of Jubilee on every single one of our partners. Father, you said that you would bless those that bless us. So, God, I release a blessing upon them in Jesus' name. Lord, if they have any children that have drifted from you, God, we call yes. them in this year in Jesus' name. Not only in, but on fire for you and walking with you in a greater fashion than they ever imagined. Father, I thank you for those that want spouses, Lord, that you yes. hold them in place and don't allow them to go outside of your will, but you bring in the perfect spouse for them in Jesus' name, one that will be a blessing in the name of Jesus. Father, those that are out there that want to write books, I thank you for giving them the pen of a ready writer and causing their books to be written easily and with anointing, God. Father, I thank you that whatever the desires of their heart are, God, I'm asking you to hear those desires tonight and to release that desire into their lives in Jesus' name. Father, those that have stood and become weary, Lord, I ask you to release strength into their bodies, and I ask you to reignite their faith in Jesus' name. God, I thank you that we are not a weak body, but we are a strong body, and there's not just one of us, God, but there's hundreds of us on this one call of partners, Father God, that we yes. stand as one, and your word says that where we agree is touching anything, it is done. So as yes. we pray and agree tonight, Father, we believe our partners are blessed. They're walking yes. in new revelation. They're walking in debt freedom. They're walking in abundance and prosperity. They're walking in your will and your way. And I believe that, Father God. I believe you're doing that this year for our partners. I thank you for giving us a strong partner base. I thank you, God, for blessing them. God, pour out even more. Pour out more and more and more till they can't even contain it, Lord. Father, we ask you tonight to do this for our partners, to bless them and to prosper them and to heal them, Father. Restore and redeem, Father God. Pour out all that you are. God, may they walk in your presence in a multiplied way from this day forth.
Yeah.
May they hear your voice clearly, God.
Yeah.
And may they walk in your ways all the days of their life. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in their lives. I give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, amen. I've enjoyed this call tonight. I hope you guys have. Like Kalita said, we'll send you out some notes tomorrow. And let us know if you enjoy the calls or the teaching. And let Kalita know. I was so thankful that she did this, and I really enjoyed what she taught us tonight. So be blessed of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and give you peace as we end this call tonight. Amen.
Amen.